Hi everyone, I'm Allie Graymond. Today I wanted to talk to you about what happens when you have a setback, a step back, as I say, right? First of all, again, if you haven't listened to my earlier videos, I can tell you that there's not one person in 9 years of doing this, which I can't believe it's been that long, but in 9 years, I have never had a person go through recovery without a single setback. Setbacks happen and it's okay. You know, it seems like it's a normal way for the brain, because the brain is always trying to bring up a thought that scares you, you know? So at some point you're going to fall for it, but are you going to fall for it and fall into compulsions or analyzing for an hour, a day, a week, a month? You know, that's what matters, you know? And you can't allow yourself to fall into it for a long time. You know, it has to be like, okay, you say you reacted the wrong way, did a compulsion kind of in the anxiety of the moment, you know, but then, okay, wait a minute, I shouldn't have done it. I have to get back on the path of recovery. I'm choosing to move on. You know what I mean? So it doesn't last that long. Like at max, try to limit it to an hour or two. You can't allow yourself to fall into it and analyze day after day, because then you really start to have not just a step back, but a big setback, you know? So you really have to pull through and say, you know what? I've done it for a little bit. That's fine. And also understanding what caused it. You know, when I talk to clients in sessions, it's important to look at the setback objectively. You know, was the person stressed out? Did they put too much on themselves? Did they get maybe into an argument with somebody? Did some life situation happen that they didn't expect and that sidetracked them? Maybe just a thought came in that triggered them, or somebody brought up a topic, or they saw something on TV that triggered it. You know what I mean? But it's important for you, from a position of objectivity, to see exactly what happened. What happened before the setback? What caused it? You know, because then you can fix it. So say, for example, if it's a certain trigger, right? Okay, so let's do some exposures on that trigger. Maybe it's a news article. So then you find that same article before you look at it again. You say, you know what? It's just OCD. I'm not going to react and I'm going to go through it the same way, but this time I'm not going to react. Or if you have a certain, like physical situation that triggers you, like a certain place that triggers you, right? So, putting yourself in that situation and saying, okay, this time I'm not reacting, you know, again, within reason. Like I'm not saying for you to do something that an average person wouldn't do, but if it's a normal standard behavior that everybody else is doing, but you're not, you know, then you have to practice doing it and seeing what actually happened. And if it's stress, right? Well, did I need to pile everything on in that one day? Probably not, you know. Or maybe somebody else piled something on top of you that you didn't want to deal with, you know, and it became too much. So preparing yourself to maybe take a different approach next time, not allow yourself to get caught up in everyday life stuff, you know. Or another situation that sometimes I talk to people who are, you know, they're stressed out and their job is such that they're always going to be stressed out. There's no way around it. You know, that's just how their job is. That's how their life is. So in that situation, creating an equal level of stress each day is helpful. So yes, you're stressed, but because you're stressed the same amount, even if it's a high amount each day, the mind will get used to it and it won't trigger OCD when you are in that in that level of stress, you know. So objectively looking at what happened wrong, don't blame yourself. Don't say, oh, I failed. This is it. I'm never going to recover. This is the worst thing that could have ever happened to me. You know, and I guess it's to an extent it's natural to feel like that. But just like you're stopping analyzing with OCD stuff, you have to stop this negative thinking as well, because all in all, you can't allow yourself to have negative thinking while you are recovering. You know, you have to limit it, not just negative thinking with OCD specifically. That's definitely true. But on top of it, having negative thinking as it relates to just life stuff. Because again, the part of the brain that's causing this problem doesn't understand what the thought is. So whether you're worrying about life stress, whether you're worrying about OCD, it doesn't care. It doesn't understand, you know? So a lot of the time when a person is stressed out, after that stress kind of dissipates, goes away, OCD stress comes in, because the mind is just throwing the next thing, and the next thing is OCD, you know? So it's, you have to look at it as, it's not just OCD. It's not just real life stress. It's not just negative thinking. It's not just feeling depressed. You know what I mean? Or not doing anything or not going anywhere because you're feeling bad, anxious, depressed, all of it. You have to be always propelling yourself forward, always saying, you know what? I have to do this. It's kind of faking it till you make it, right? It's, you have to fake it to show your mind that everything is okay. Everything is normal. No need to send me the thoughts. Everything is fine. And the mind will adjust to it. Just like it adjusted to when you started to react with a lot of fear and say, oh my God, everything is wrong. Everybody's going to die. The world is going to collapse. You know, it adjusted to that. So it can adjust back as well. But you have to send the right signal, you know, and in terms of steps back happen. But the percentage of steps forward versus steps back has to be about 80% forward and 20 back because things happen, or 90% forward, 10% back. And, you know, at the same time, I understand that when a person starts out on a journey of OCD recovery, they don't start out with that high of a percentage, obviously. They start out with about 100% reassurance. But if this week you did 100, and next week you did 90% reassurance, and then 80, and then, you know, until you get to 50-50, and then going up from there, do you know what I mean? You will get to that 80-20-90-10, you know? As long as there's progression happening week to week. Day to day, it's hard because, again, real life gets in the way, and, you know, if you get stressed out, then your day to day will look kind of messy, you know? But week to week, you should be seeing progress. And again, if you're not, look at it mindful from a position, like a third person position, right? Not judging it, not blaming yourself, no negative emotion, but just like, okay, this is what happened. How did it happen? And what can I do next time to make sure I have a better reaction, you know? Overall, I find it also helpful that if you know certain situations trigger you, certain, say conversations trigger you, before going into that, which would be at this point an exposure, right? Before going into an exposure, kind of psyching yourself up in a way, kind of like a coach does before a football game, for example, you know, that I'm going to go in there. It's going to be tough. I'm going to get anxiety. I'm not going to react, you know, so you kind of prepare yourself so that when you go in there and you do have anxiety, then you're going to say, oh, I prepared for it. I practiced for it. That's fine. I hope you find these videos helpful. If you would like to do the recovery program, all the information is on youhaveocd.com. You can sign up there. If you haven't subscribed yet, please subscribe. I'll see you in the next video.